Let me share with you a story that you might have heard before. It was between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the time, you know, when usually you collect a piece of evergreen from a forest, get a Christmas tree, you know. Anyway, a grandfather took his four-year-old grandson out into the woods to pick out a Christmas tree. Well, what should have been a simple task turned into a couple of hours. They walked all over the place, over hills, down hills, behind things. He just couldn't believe it, you know. The boy simply couldn't find a tree that he liked. But now it was getting dark and it was getting cold. And so the grandfather shook his head and said to the boy, "We'll have to take the next tree." The boy looked up in bewilderment and said, "Even if it doesn't have any lights on it?" Think about it. The boy was so used to seeing lights on Christmas trees, and since none of the trees in the woods had lights, none of them were good enough to be Christmas trees. You know, think about it. You look all around, already Dovewood is buzz. People parking in the church lot all hours of the night this week, checking out the Christmas lights wherever it is. Christmas time is a time of lights, and we see them all over the place. I remember even in the hospital, they had nurses there and pre-op wearing, I don't know, I thought it was a Christmas pageant. They get into it. I saw ugly sweaters that were ugly. I saw things with lights and lights where lights shouldn't be. Anyway, it was good. I don't think it was medication because I didn't take any. But it was pretty funny. I even thought I saw an Olaf. And if you don't know who that is, watch Frozen. Anyway, nurses get silly, I think. They just have to or else they lose it. But there's all sorts of lights. I love the lights myself, you know. It seems fitting for the season, actually, to have those lights, because the birth of Christ was also decorated with lights, like how the angels lit up the night sky with God's glory for the shepherds to come and adore him. Christmas time is a time of lights. And that's only right, again, because Jesus is the light of the world. And that's exactly what we're told back in John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, where John writes this about Jesus. "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." In other words, Jesus is the way to salvation, life, and to God. But there are so many people without Jesus. And that's because they either haven't had a chance to hear the gospel or they simply haven't chosen to follow the light. And so they stay in darkness. They're without God, they're without life, of course, without salvation. Jesus said it this way over in John chapter 8 and verse 12. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Later on in John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus emphasized his mission, saying, "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So many in darkness today. The fact that Jesus is the light was something that the prophets had actually predicted long ago about the coming Christ. For example, over in Malachi, chapter 4 and verse 2, Malachi writes, "But for you who revere my name," and that's the Lord's name, "the Son of Righteousness," and that is actually S-U-N, "will rise with healing in its wings." Talking about a great light, you see. And just one more, and this is written by the prophet Isaiah. And that's found back in chapter 9 and verse 2, where Isaiah writes, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." As we look at all these verses, we see a repeated theme, right? That the Messiah, Jesus, is the light of God to a people living in darkness. And we could read example after example of people who were once in darkness that were changed by the light of Jesus all throughout the New Testament. For example, there's Peter and the other apostles. There's Levi, Zacchaeus, and Paul. And that's just a few, right? And we all know people who have turned from the darkness to the light. They've turned from being lonely to being befriended, from being dominated by sin to being freed by Christ. And maybe you were one of those people in the past. And so that helps you to be able to relate to others. And maybe if you're watching online, you're struggling with that now, and you need to come to the light. But again, hear me out on this one. You know, you don't need to have such a dramatic change in your life in order to become a Christian, because there are people who grow up in the Lord's church and they maybe have lived a pretty good life. I mean, there are 10 and 11 year old boys and girls that grow up in the church, and they haven't, thankfully, they haven't experienced some of the darker side of life, and they haven't lived with the kinds of darkness that a lot of people live with today. But they do understand enough about Jesus and what it means to be a Christian and to put sin behind them to want Jesus. And so, you know, you can still know enough at just about any age to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and still know enough to understand that their sin is something that separates them from God and that they need to repent and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of their sins. And I'm not saying that every 10 and 11 year old is able to do that, but you can still grow up in the church, or you can still live a rather good life even later on, but understand that, you know, you need Jesus. Still, most people, once you've lived long enough, you've lived with some darkness. You've tasted it and you felt it and you suffered it. You suffered its pain and its sorrow. And for those who were once in darkness but have chosen the path of light, that contrast becomes obvious, because their darkness was so black and empty, but now in Christ there is light and life. Now, it's the change lives of people who once lived in the depth of blackness and despair that now prove the power of Jesus' light. They're the kinds of people that at one time polite society would have cast aside as undesirable because, you know, they've done terrible things. They've lived unsavory, darkened lives. Think about the Apostle Paul when he first came to Christ. They wanted nothing to do with him because they thought, this is that Christian killer guy. This is the guy that hates Christians. But he had come into the light, and he was a part of the light, and he was trying desperately, Paul, to shine that light. But it was hard because of his past. But people are like that, you know. We know people like that today. They're sort of dark and unsavory, you know. They're not the kind of people that most folks would want to come to Christmas dinner or maybe even invite to church. But that's because to many in this world, only the good deserve acceptance. And really, that's one of the bizarre mindsets of Christmas. Because if you think about the Christmas song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, you know the words to the song, and the song, the lyrics are just pretty simple. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. So that's really good for a parent, right? You got kids. It's like, you better not whine. I'm not getting you anything for Christmas. No, it's not like, you better not whine. Santa's not coming, you know? So, you know, it says the next one's even scarier. This sounds, you know, he's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. I'm thinking, does Santa have spy cameras in my house? The next one's even more scary. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Man, need to call the police on this guy, right? He's got cams everywhere. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Goodness sake, man, Santa. Wow. You're a scary guy. Anyway, you know, most of us know the words to that song because you hear it every year, Christmas carols, it's on TV, whatever. But it's theologically speaking, though, compared to Christ, it's bad theology, you know, because the song says that only those who are good deserve Santa's gifts. Only those who've done good. And that's okay for Santa Claus, but here's where people make a mistake. Santa is not God, okay? And God is not Santa. People make the mistake the other way too, thinking, God, give me this, this, and this, because you're like Santa, right? No. Santa's not God, God's not Santa. No relation. Might have a beard, but that's it, you know? The theology of Santa says that only the righteous deserve acceptance. Only the good will receive their Christmas gift. Again, that's fine for Santa. But God tells us that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5, 6 through 8. You know, you think about that. Anyone can come up with a plan so that good people can go to heaven. But God created a plan where sinners who are his enemies could actually be with him in heaven. Only God could create a plan where people who have made terrible decisions in their lives could receive hope, mercy, and forgiveness. And that's the one thing, you know, that kind of really frustrated the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Because you remember that Jesus spent all kinds of time with those who had been naughty and not nice, at least according to the Pharisees, you know? Jesus ate and therefore fellowship with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. Over in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 10, Jesus shares a parable with those who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. He said this, he said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In other words, no, you can't be good enough. You can't be good enough to be good enough in order to be acceptable to God. That's not to say we shouldn't try to be good, but only Jesus is the one who makes us acceptable before God. If anyone ever thinks their life is righteous enough without depending upon the blood of Jesus, then they are still in darkness and they need the light of God in their life. And you know there are people like that out there. I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. You can be as good as you want to be, but you're not as good as Jesus. That's the kind of truth that a lot of people have trouble understanding. That all have sinned. That means they themselves, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3, 23 and 24. So we are all sinners, us personally, and the only way that we can receive grace and mercy is through Jesus Christ, not by anything that we do personally. Obviously, unrighteousness and those who mistakenly thought they were righteous enough on their own really need to understand that. They have a problem with that. They need to be, therefore, led out of darkness to the light that is Jesus. Again, because Jesus is the light of the world. A couple more things to see in the chapter. What we want to see next is that we are also to be lights in the world. Back in John chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, the Apostle John writes, there was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Okay, let's put this in context a little bit and just explain one or two things. This is John, the son of Zebedee, the Apostle John, writing about John. That's the son of Zechariah, a.k.a. John the Baptist. And here we see that John the Baptist has one specific purpose in his life. He had been sent to be a witness to the light. And so his entire life was about pointing people to the light that was Jesus. And because of that, Jesus says in Matthew 11:11, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. You think, well, why in the world would John be praised so much like that by Jesus? Well, again, it's because John lived his life as God had wanted him to, constantly pointing people to Jesus as the Messiah. He had lived his life bringing God's light into people's lives. Now, what that means for us is that every time we share Jesus with others, every time we bring people to God, every time we actually invite people to his church, we can be confident that Jesus is pleased with us too. Jesus said it this way over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. There he said, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. You know, you look at that and you think, you know, think about that yourself. You think every time that you personally talk to others about Jesus, Jesus is up there in heaven talking about you with the angels of God. It's as if you decorated your life with so many Christmas lights that they could be seen from outer space. The thing is, again, there are people out there that we don't often think about because they might not be very friendly toward us, but they're there waiting for you and me to be the light, to share the light that is Jesus with them. To be like John and point them to the true light. And those people are all around us living in darkness. There are more people than we actually think who really do want to hear about Jesus. Jesus knows that too, and that's why he said to us over in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 and 16 that you are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Then he says in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's just simply a matter of deciding to be the light that Jesus says you already are. And then sharing the light of Jesus with the people around us. There's one more thing I really wanted to point out to us from the text today, from John chapter 1, and that is that Jesus again, is the true light, back in verse 9. During any normal Christmas season, you get to see a Santa, usually in a mall or maybe a tree farm or sometimes even at grocery stores. In fact, you might get to see two or three St. Nicks along the way ringing kettlebells or sitting somewhere in the middle of a store, you know, people lining up to get their picture taken and stuff. And while some kids probably figure that he gets around really, 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 really fast, like maybe he's got a teleporter or something, I don't know, maybe he's got roller skates or I don't know what he does to get from point A to point B, they figured out that all these Santas are representatives of the real Santa, and so they work for him, all right? And so to them, one Santa is just as good as another Santa. That's okay, all right? Oddly, there are some people who have drawn the same conclusions, though, about the light. They figure that one light is just as good as another when it comes to pleasing God. So they say something like, well, you know, all religions are going to get you to the same place. One light's just as good as the other. And so to even suggest that there would only be one true light that leads to one true God often offends a lot of people. Yet, this is precisely the message of Christianity. Jesus said it himself in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then later, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the apostle Peter told the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 that salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Simply put, there is no other light that can lead you to God. There is no other faith that will bring people to the one true God. There is no other faith that can make you good enough to be good enough for God. Sadly, no one's going to make it to heaven because they're a nice person. That's not how it works. And that's the reason why God has given us the lights of Christmas. Remember again, Jesus is the light of the world. There is no other light that can change people's lives like Jesus can. He's changed the lives of people in the scriptures. He's changed our lives. He's changed the lives of people that we know. There is no other light that could truly lead people and to God and to be acceptable by God. And remember too that you and me are the ones who are to bring that light, to introduce that light into the lives of others living in darkness and reflecting the light of Christ to those around us through our actions and through our words by sharing the way to enter into his life-giving, hope-filled light. You say, well, you know, what if I'm not all that good about sharing Jesus? Well, you know, we've got all kinds of tools to help with that, right? But again, God has never expected us to be eloquent, be good speakers, be able to stand in front of people and to be able to say so many things. Just be obedient, you know? Just talk about Jesus. Just bring him up in conversation. Talk about his church. God's going to do the rest. It will take time, but God will work on their hearts. Let me share a story that I believe I've shared before. It's about a blind man who was standing on a corner doing a little bit of street preaching, you could say. He was reading from a blind man's Bible, a Braille Bible. He was reading from Acts chapter 4, from the text I shared with you before. And this fellow walking around saw the man watching, trying to read his Braille Bible as crowds had gathered around. And while trying to find his place in the text, he kind of got stuck there in Acts 4, and he kept repeating, no other name, no other name, no other name. You know, you do that when you lose your place. You go back and you try to find where you left off. Of course, a lot of people smiled and they joked and they kind of poked fun at him because he's blind and he can't see and everything. But this man who had walked by and caught a glimpse of that, he was searching at that time for true inner peace. And so he was ready to be influenced by a word in season, if you will. And when he heard those words, they kept echoing in his head, there is no other name. And he went to bed thinking about that. And he woke up the next morning and he realized he had been trying to save himself and that he really needed Jesus. And so he sought out the church. He sought out the true gospel. Now, true story or not, it goes to show us that you really don't need to be eloquent in sharing the light. Just shine as bright as you can, because you never know who's going to see the light of Christ living in you and choose to follow the one true light. So today, if there's anyone maybe online who is struggling in darkness and despair, know that the light of hope can shine into your heart if you choose to see the light of Jesus. And you can do that simply by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your trust in him, confess him as Lord and Savior, and commit your life to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, you continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with him. For those of us here and also online who are already Christians, who have already seen the light, remember to keep walking in the light and reflect that light and sharing that light, the light of Christ, wherever you go. So as always, if there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.